I'm Evan.
And I'm Laurel.
And you're listening to episode 350
with our dad,
Pharmacy Joe.
Make sure you listen all the way to the end of this episode where we have a special announcement.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about the effect of propofol and dexmedetomidine on norepinephrine requirements in patients with septic shock. Answer the drug information question, what is amantadine's role in traumatic brain injury, and share a tip for responding to inpatient medical emergencies. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode350. The article for this episode is titled, The Effect of Propofol and Dexmedetomidine Sedation on Norepinephrine Requirements in Septic Shock Patients. The lead author is Andrea Morelli, and this was published in Critical Care Medicine October 2018. Both propofol and dexmedetomidine are known to have hemodynamic instability as a possible side effect. This effect can be overcome in patients with septic shock by increasing the dose of a vasopressor such as norepinephrine. However, in animal models of septic shock, alpha-2 adrenergic agonists like dexmedetomidine have been reported to decrease norepinephrine requirements. The authors of this study sought to test the hypothesis that switching from sedation with propofol to the alpha-2 agonist dexmedetomidine may decrease norepinephrine doses in patients with septic shock. The study was a small, prospective, open-label crossover study in a university hospital ICU. 38 patients with septic shock requiring norepinephrine to maintain adequate mean arterial pressure and needing deep sedation with propofol and remifentanil to maintain a Richmond Agitation Sedation Scale score between -3 and -4 were included. An initial set of measurements, including hemodynamics, norepinephrine doses, and depth of sedation, were obtained during sedation with propofol. Propofol was then replaced by dexmedetomidine, and a second set of data was obtained after 4 hours of dexmedetomidine infusion. Sedation was switched back to propofol, and a final set of measurements was obtained after 8 hours. A Richmond Agitation Sedation Scale score between -3 and -4 was maintained during the study period. Norepinephrine requirements decreased from a mean of 0.69 mics per kilo per minute before dexmedetomidine to 0.3 mics per kilo per minute 4 hours after dexmedetomidine infusion. Norepinephrine requirements increased to a mean of 0.42 mics per kilo per minute 8 hours after dexmedetomidine was discontinued and propofol resumed. The mean dexmedetomidine dosage was 0.7 mics per kilo per hour. Propofol and remifentanil requirements were identical before and after dexmedetomidine was used. The authors concluded for a comparable level of sedation, switching from propofol to dexmedetomidine resulted in a reduction of catecholamine requirements in septic shock patients. I think the most important part of this study is that dexmedetomidine brought the mean norepinephrine dose down below the threshold of 0.5 mics per kilo per minute. Previous studies have suggested that using norepinephrine doses above 0.5 mics per kilo per minute is associated with increased mortality. Although mortality was not evaluated in the study, it's possible that if the results were replicated in a study with a larger sample size, a mortality benefit might be found. The drug information question for this episode is, what is amantadine's role in traumatic brain injury? Shout out to nurse practitioner Deb for this question. My answer is amantadine has been shown to assist in the improvement of cognitive function in patients with traumatic brain injury. In a single institution-based observational study of 50 patients with documented static or declining cognitive function at 2 months of severe TBI, cognitive function improved progressively during a 4-week treatment interval with amantadine. This was shown by a significant improvement on the full outline of unresponsiveness score, the disability rating scale, and Glasgow outcome scale. After discontinuation of the drug, the speed of recovery slowed down significantly, but the achieved recovery was not lost. Out of 50 patients, 8 had convulsions as an adverse effect of amantadine, of which 5 patients required discontinuation of the drug with treatment for convulsions. The dose of amantadine in the study was 100 milligrams twice a day, given orally or through enteral feeding tube. And my tip for responding to inpatient medical emergencies? Just being a pharmacist is enough to be a valuable member of the team. The simple things like labeling medications, calculating doses, and checking IV compatibility allow the nurses and physicians on the team to focus on the patient while you handle the pharmacotherapy needs. As you gain experience with emergency response, you will naturally start to increase your value to the team by doing things such as helping to identify and reverse the cause of the patient's deterioration and predict pharmacotherapy needs in advance of them being requested. No matter what skill level of Code Blue and Rapid Response you're at, the Hospital Pharmacy Academy has specific trainings to help you bring your emergency response skills to the next level. To learn more, go to pharmacyjoe.com/academy.
We're back with our special announcement. You probably know that our dad has published one book, A Pharmacist's Guide to Inpatient Medical Emergencies.
But I've published 2 books, and I am working on the third.
And I'm the editor and cover designer. The books are about 2 boys who go on an unexpected adventure to save the human world.
Suggested ages 6 and up.
If you have kids who like adventure stories, go to evansplatform.com to get these books.
Made by kids for kids.